Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The explosive and completely ridiculous article in the New York Times this week, the one written by Nicholas Kristof, has caused an incredible amount of a reaction. Now, the Israeli government, Israeli leaders, obviously saying it's false, are threatening to sue the New York Times. What does this mean? How does this likely play out? Joining us now is Gedalia Blum. He is a partner, co-founder of the Heartland Initiative, and the man behind the widely followed X account, Mossad IL. Gedalia, a very good morning to you, and Chag Sameach for Yom Yerushalayim. Let's just start with the basics. Which aspect of this column caused the most upset and outrage inside Israel?
Well, I mean the timing of it, the content of it, the fact that I mean for anybody who doesn't know, they're only seeing the headlines about the New York Times. 3 years. Of reporting, or nearly 3 years of reporting, of sexual violence against women and men by Hamas and civilians, by the way, civilians from Gaza, was slated to be released, a report, a 300-page report. Deep research. I mean, this is like the gold standard of research of sexual violence in a war zone was created in the last couple of years. This report was slated to be released, and the New York Times came in with this ridiculous report of their own that was not about doing deep dive research, you know, corroborating witnesses and getting evidence and pictures and everything else. Instead, they interviewed, I think, 16 or 17 Hamas terrorists who were imprisoned as like their like normal regular everyday.
Yes, they can murder and rape, but they would never lie.
No, of course not. They would never lie.
Right.
And so the shock actually was kind of like they took the wind out of the sails of the people behind the report. Now, as this started going through the news cycle, there was this, you know, competing, you know, attention of the eyes, and essentially it became, instead of, you know, people being objective and saying, okay, let's see what both reports say, it really became more, you know, weaponized. Where exactly are you positioned on this issue already? And how, and, you know, and, you know, and what can I use in order to, this is why you get people, you know, talking about this New York Times report, is because they already hate Israel. They don't want Israel to exist. They're looking for anything to attack them with. And this was a great weapon because, gee, it's the New York Times. But if they looked even closer, you see that the author of it, I don't even want to say his name, underneath it, it said it was an opinion piece.
How is that an opinion? It just doesn't make any sense. You can't have an opinion that something happened. Like that's either it did or it didn't. An opinion is a thought. This isn't a thought. This was reported as a fact. So
right. And actually, when it was challenged, by the way, the New York Times came back and they said, "Well, you don't understand that our opinion pieces are fully vetted and we do a deep dive research." Like it doesn't make sense. So because it doesn't make sense, there's a story behind it, and the story is going to come out, and it's starting to come out a little bit. But you're actually seeing, and if anybody doesn't know this already, and they should know this, is that media and narrative is coordinated, it's weaponized. And this is all part of the pipeline of the weaponization of media and narrative against Israel, because you're seeing that this was not the first time that this was being reported. The first time it was being reported was months ago by these, you know, social media accounts that were connected to this pipeline, and you see it kind of like picking up steam, and then being amplified, and then becoming some sort of narrative that people already believe in it, or they've heard it a number of times. So when the New York Times comes in as a mainstream media, recognized and very, you know, accountable, credible. They come in and they report it. Now it becomes fact. And this is all coordinated. And I think that the people, people need to understand that, you should look at media as you look at activists now, because that's exactly where we are right now.
So let's talk about the fact that the Israeli government has signaled its intent to sue the New York Times for defamation. This is very unusual, isn't it? I mean, I can't think of this type of a government suing a foreign newspaper before. I might be wrong, but it's a very unusual event in my mind.
Well, I mean, we're talking about Israel, that's a free and, democratic society. If this was, Erdogan, if this was Erdogan in Turkey, he would just throw everybody in jail. Right? So we're talking about the unprecedented nature of a free and democratic society that believes in free press going against and saying, listen, your freedom of the press is no longer. We're going to hold you culpable. And I think that this was actually brought up about suing the New York Times, many months ago, when they put the picture of the sick child from Gaza
Yes,
with some genetic
claiming
disease
that you're
on
claiming that
it,
the
and
child was
claiming that it's
starving.
part of some sort of, using that as an illustration for genocide, for the starvation of people in Gaza. And that wasn't enough, but I think at some point, Western nations need to understand, and this is not just about Israel, it's not about New York Times, not about the lawsuits, not about this author. Western nations, people who believe in freedom, in democracy, in liberties, need to understand that there are people, there are institutions, there are foreign actors who are leveraging those systems against itself, against them. They're using freedom of the press, they're using these freedoms and liberties. Just yesterday, Trump was talking about, how Chinese are able to buy land, farmlands, right outside of a military compound. I mean, this is like a, freedom of, exchange of goods. And like, no, you have to draw red lines. You have to draw red lines in a free society. In order to have a free society, there needs to be some sort of, agreement on the basis and the core of where you want the society. If you have people within your society trying to undermine the society in which that you live in, you can't give them the same freedoms. And I think that when it comes to New York Times and Israel, I think Israel needs to draw the lines. We need to be one of the first countries that says, like, we are going to preserve our society. We're not going to turn into London. We're not going to turn into, Mamdani's New York. We're going to make sure that these people do not have the freedom to act and do as they please in order to undermine our society. And I hope that this lawsuit brings this out to light. I hope it's not just about the article. I hope it's not just about the lack of evidence. I really hope that this is framed as it should be, which is in context about what the world is facing. And this is why I think that this case is not only important for Israel, but it's important for the whole free world.
Absolutely. Well, I think that if the well-known I don't know what they are stereotypes are correct, Jews know how to do law cases. We do good lawyers. So let's see what happens. Gedalia Blum, that's where we leave it. Wishing you a fantastic weekend and a Shabbat Shalom.